Blog Talk Radio.
Right. You know, so we want to clear the air and let you all know what time of day it really is. And it goes a little something like this. That's the sound that I want to eat. That's the sound that I need.
Going out to the hardcore hip hop. Of course, we don't flip flop. We're going to come down, 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 down.
I was listening to BDT suddenly.
Good evening, my brothers. Good evening, my sisters. And we welcome you to another edition of the PIF Table. I'm Brother Dunlap. We have also with us Brother Feaster. How you doing, my brother?
I'm doing all right. Had me a rough day, but I'm glad to be sitting at the table, take a break and relax and unwind and talk about some stuff I really want to talk about today.
Amen to that. You know, we are just ecstatic to be back. We took a break last week to allow everybody to gather their thoughts, to spend some time with family, even though y'all are still our family. But I think it was a much-needed break, so we ran a rerun show, and the response from that show, Should You Stop Paying Tithes, was just awesome. So if you have not had an opportunity to listen to that show via the archives on the Blog Talk Radio site, we encourage you to go ahead and do that. Tonight we have a very good topic for you. Tonight's topic is debt, that silent killer, Brother Feaster. Debt, the silent killer. And there's a whole bunch of different questions that a lot of people have regarding debt, a lot of questions that a lot of people have in response to their different type of debt solutions. So let me just tell you up front, tonight what I'm proposing is that what we do is engage in a serious dialogue, a serious talk about debt, not super spiritual talk, if I can say it like that. We're not going to be talking about quick solutions that we know a lot of people are actually looking for, but we're looking to have some honest conversations about debt and what people really feel about debt and what they know about debt. We hope that we get some callers to call in and be honest about your debt situations. And also we hope to be liberating for those who are in debt situations that are looking for a way out. Now, we do not propose that this is going to be the only way that you can get out of debt. We are proposing that this may be one way. So let us just go ahead and let God have his way and do what God wants to do. In these conversations, Brother Feaster, we want people to understand that this debt thing that we hear about so much, it affects the individual, affects you and I as persons, it affects families. With the divorce rate being so high in America, we also know that it affects marriages. It definitely affects communities. And one thing that's near and dear to my heart, it affects the church. So we're going to do as we always do, Brother Feaster. We're going to just open up the can and dig right into it. I have no idea if we're going to cover the church first, the individual, the families. However God wants us to do it, Brother, that's how we're going to do it. So Sister Adia, she'll be joining us shortly. So let's just check in, Brother. How was your vacation?
My vacation was good. My daughter graduated Saturday, and I got to see a great graduation as my daughter walked across and got her diploma. So mine was great. I really needed it, and I'm glad I was able to be there because, you know, being in the military, that ain't always the case. So
I got you there. Well, we're proud for you and proud for her, and tell her I said hi the next time you talk to her. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to join into the conversation, if you want to have a seat at this table, we encourage you to press 1 on your dial pad. We'll bring you into the conversation, and let's just go ahead and get it started. If you're following us on Facebook, we are on Facebook. The Facebook page is possessions.resources.finances. We have several questions out there that we are going to be trying to get through tonight. And if we can't get through to them tonight, then we will definitely continue the conversation after the show airs and going on into next week. Let me just tell you, for all of you religious folks out there, or Christians, or spiritual, however you claim or name yourself, the one scripture that we will be dealing with tonight is going to be 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 through 7. So we'll get to that But what I wanted to do, Brother Feaster, was just talk to us briefly, you know, what's your understanding of debt? You know, how near and dear is debt to your heart? I know stewardship is your baby. So we spent a lot of time dealing with stewardship. But as you said, debt is near and dear to your heart. I know in your profession, you see a lot of individuals that are going through debt situations. And fortunately for you and in your career field of military, there's a lot of help available to military service members for debt problems that those of us on the outside, the civilian world, so to speak, may not have access to those right at our fingertips, may not have access to it where it doesn't cost anything. So can you just talk to us a little bit about, you know, how you're seeing debt, you know, being in the military, even though that's your profession, and what's your understanding of debt? And we'll just go from there.
But I want to start off by saying that I thank God for my wife, who actually was the one that really helped me understand how to get out of debt. My mom told me when I was younger, there's a difference between a need and a want. And as you get older, you really don't understand some of the things that your parents or your mentors are really teaching you. So I really didn't understand what she was saying until I got older and began to realize what my needs were and my wants were. But I was confused. So my need was a car, but my want was, you know, with rims, with a sound system, you know, up-to-date specific car. Actually, it was a 1998 Ford Escort GT. I'm going to put it out there, you know.
Wow.
You know, with some bones and some what was it, MTX speakers in the back, some 12s. You know, that was what I wanted.
That's what you wanted. I got you. Ladies and gentlemen, we are experiencing technical difficulties, so we have Brother Feaster. He'll be back on in a minute. But one of the things that I wanted to talk about until Brother Feaster gets back is this. There are different types of debt that are out there, and a lot of times I hear a lot of people talking about good debt and bad debt, and I think before you get to a point where you're actually talking about good debt and bad debt, what I wanted to do was actually pose a question. You know, is there such thing as having legitimate debt? Are there some debt that are legitimate that you actually need to have? Are there some debts that are out there that are unnecessary? Debts that you have entered into an agreement with somebody on a credit basis, and now you find out that, you know, well, I really thought I needed 2 years ago. It's in the garage. I haven't used it in about 19 months, and I'm still paying on it. And then we have what's called gradual debt, you know, debts that start off real small, and then they wind up growing into another capacity. So, Brother Feaster, you joined us back. I was trying to hold it down while you got back, so let me just let you go ahead and finish what you were saying, brother.
Yeah, I was just trying to, I'm not sure what happened, but I was just trying to explain what my situation was. I got my needs and my wants caught up, and it was so funny because my wife was the one that really broke it down to me and got me out of that keeping up with the Joneses phase. And because of that, I mean, when I got married, I had debt, and I had more debt trying to come in and be a man and be a father and be a husband and all that. So what I thought was debt was only $2,000 in the hole. I really, you know, at the time, that's a whole lot. But really, that when I started talking to other people about, you know, I'm $2,000 in the hole, they was like, you ain't that bad. That's about two or three paychecks, you know.
Right.
So over time, I come to realize that really wasn't, it was money, for me, it wasn't debt. It was bad money management. And so that's why, even though stewardship is my baby, this is near and dear to my heart because a lot of us think that we're in debt and we're really just suffering from bad money management. And if we would manage our money right, we'll realize that what we think is debt is actually obtainable to get out of, or like you were saying, it's necessary. You know, there's some necessary debt, some debts we will have, we're going to have. We got to realize these things. So my situation was I was getting tired of making payments, and that's what I consider debt was. That's not debt. That is that's stewardship. That's being accountable for what you purchased. For example, I bought a VCR. This is back in the day. I bought a VCR. I had like a 6 month payment obligation. After about 4 months, I got tired of paying for it, and I just literally stopped making payments, and was getting mad when a creditor was calling me. You know, so it wasn't debt; it was stewardship. It was stewardship. It was money management. So a lot of times, it's really just what do we do with what we have. A lot of the debt we've acquired. It's simply because it's stuff, like you were saying before, as I was coming back in, getting stuff that we really don't need, purchasing stuff, and it's just sitting in the room or sitting back there because I thought I needed it or it was a one-time deal, or I thought I needed it, but I got more than what I needed. So I'm excited to see which direction this goes because, you know, you're saying the family, the church, the work, all this stuff, it's going to be interesting because we have allocations of debt in more areas than what we think we do. We owe more people than what we think we do. And, you know, as we're talking about debt, a lot of people right now are thinking about money. But there are other obligations that we're obligated to that we're indebted to. You know, if you have a job, you're indebted to your boss, your supervisor, for what you're obligated to do, what he chose you or she chose you to do. So, you know, it's just, I see different areas that we're probably going to end up going in. So I'm just going to stop right there and let this go where it's going for tonight.
Good deal. Well, you ain't got somebody fired up, so we have a caller that wants to sit down at the table, 3020. How you doing this evening?
Hello. How are you doing, JR?
I'm doing well.
Can y'all hear me? Because I'm actually driving.
We got you.
Okay. What I would like to say in reference to debt, and I'm speaking from the monetarily form, is that I feel like you view it differently depending on where you are in your life. Like, for instance, knowing the difference between the want and the need, which was just expressed, was, you know, definitely important. However, when you're younger, and when I say younger, in your 20s, early 20s, teenage years, your level of priorities and what you spend on and knowing the importance of credit is not that high because you just think I got time to work on that. And the example that I have in reference to that is when I was in undergrad, you know, the first thing that they kind of do in the student center, because I went to Columbus State University, is all of these credit card vendors just pop up and they present in reference to you can get a credit card because they're banking on the fact that you're going to finish school. And once you finish school, you'll be able to pay things off. You can pay the minimum, not looking at the level of interest that you're paying, not looking at you spent this amount, but the amount of interest that you're paying over time is still accumulating and it's making them more money. With that being said, when you have matured a little bit more and you're buying things more wisely, you're saying, okay, you may weigh, do I need it or do I want it? Things that are absolutely necessary to sustain life, you would definitely want to have, you don't mind having, and you know this is going to be a reoccurring thing. One thing that presented when I was getting ready to purchase my home, because if you did take a leap to the other side of debt being in a negative aspect, you try to line everything up. Once you know better, you do better, and there is a level of accountability. So what I did not recognize the difference in was revolving debt or having, you may be in good standing, but you have so much of it that when you sit down with the bankers and they're looking at your debt-to-income ratio, that plays a major factor in what you qualify for. So as you mature, you're going to handle that differently, unless that foundation was never laid from the beginning. And what I mean by that is that if you was in a household where the parents did not distribute funds in the appropriate manner or they robbed Peter to so-called say, pay Paul, then the only way that's going to change in you is if you decide to do something different and you structure the way you handle finances or whatever it is that you're in debt to a different way. So, yes, there's definite debt that you're going to have on a regular basis, and then there is some that is considered to a want debt or even a pleasurable, you know, I work hard, so I play hard kind of debt. But there are just many different ways to look at it, and I appreciate you bringing this topic to the board, and I hope that more people chime in to, you know, give their part. But that was just one experience that I had.
All right. Well, we thank you, my sister, and when I click you off the switchboard, press one on your dial pad so we click off, and if you want to come back on, just press one again, and we'll bring you back in the conversation, all right?
Okay.
All right. Appreciate it. Well, Lafisa, let me, you know, she mentioned a lot of good things that in her comment, and we thank her caller for that. One of the things that she mentioned was a foundation, and I thought about where was the foundation laid in regards to debt, and when was it laid? And that ties into your comment. You know, I remember when I was young and dumb in the military and I got my first credit card. When I got that first credit card, I got it because somebody suggested that I get a credit card. You know, you need to have credit. I didn't get a foundation at home about credit and debt. So all I had was my own individual knowledge as a 19-year-old kid. I'm not going to act like I was grown, even though I thought I was, as a 19-year-old kid. And I can remember it. I used to tell this story to my students when I was teaching the personal financial management course for the Army. I said, back during that day, and, you know, I'm speaking to a bunch of, you know, 19, 20 years old, so I'm talking about back in that day when I got that $500 credit card, I went shopping. And what I brought from that $500 credit card was a whole bunch of cross-color gear. Anybody that's over 35, 40 years old, or pretty much 40 and above, you know what cross-colors was, especially if you lived in some urban areas. And I remember after I brought it, I wasn't as happy as I thought I was because it became old, but yet I still had to pay it off. Now, I did the right thing. I was in debt, but I wasn't in over my head. I had a plan on paying it off for over a six-month period. The issue came is when I applied for more credit. When I applied for more credit, I was given more credit. When I got more credit, I spent more. And that's what created a circle, a cycle effect of going round and round and round, only paying the minimum amounts. And I had that credit card. They kept increasing my limit, even though I was just barely paying the minimum. And I held on to that debt for 10 years almost before I was able to pay it off. And let me tell you what we're doing. I'm being real intentional about talking about debt because debt has a first cousin. His name or her name is credit. So you don't get into debt without obtaining credit. And credit is something that you have to ask for. Nobody gives you credit. And our caller mentioned something very important. Let me say it like this. I have a daughter that's in college right now, just finished her freshman year. Love you, baby. She's probably getting the same thing that our caller got, same thing that our oldest daughter got when she was in college, the same thing, getting these applications. But if you never fill them out, Brother Feaster, guess what? You'll never get any credit. If you never get any credit, then you'll never. Then he did.
John, let me add something to that because it's a little bit more than that. You know, not to contradict you, but it's set up now to where, like my daughter, you know, just graduated high school, trying to do good things, trying to build up her credit. She went to go. She told us her whole senior year, one of the first things I'm gonna do is get my own cell phone coverage, so y'all don't have to pay for my cell phone anymore. When she went up there, they told her it's going to cost her $500 because she has no credit. You know, so I hear what you're saying, JR. I just think we need to add a little bit more to that because there's credit, but there's good credit, there's bad credit. I hope we are really going to discuss both sides of it. Not all credit is bad. And I really believe majority of us, and I'm going to speak for myself, initially – I thought all credit and all debt was bad, and that's not the case. That's truly not the case. So I'm sorry. I just wanted to get that in there.
Well, you're right, brother. You're right. All debt is not bad debt. And let me tell you why I'm being intentional with dealing with debt first. Because just like that college student, my daughter, your daughter that goes to college, the caller, and these applications start coming, and they do like I did, like so many others do, apply for the credit, then we're putting the cart before the horse. Matter of fact,
right.
We're being reactive instead of proactive. Why talk about credit first without talking about debt? Because there's a whole lot of people that are in trouble, financial problems right now, because of debt, not because of credit. So it's kind of like we're working ourselves backwards and say, okay, let's talk about what the debt problem is, because that's what people are trying to get out of. And
right.
I know Adia has joined in to the conversation, so let me bring in Sister Sanders. How are you doing this evening? I thought she was ready, but whenever she decides she wants to talk, she'll say something. But you understand my logic behind it? This is what I'm believing that God is saying. Look, we need to deal with the debt piece because that's where people are. Think about Jesus.
Right.
Jesus dealt with people where they were at. So since we
right.
know that there's a whole bunch of people that are out here that are going through some bad situations because of debt, yeah, the root cause may be credit. We understand that. But right now it's like, okay, let's look at what the debt is. Give you another case in point, and then I may shut up. There's a lot of people that have filed bankruptcy in this country. It affects a lot of individuals. It affects marriages. It affects families. And it definitely affects communities. And it affects the church as well. So when individuals go and make the decision that they're going to file for a bankruptcy in America, they have to go through credit counseling before they're actually able to enter into the bankruptcy. Point number two, after that bankruptcy is confirmed and before they come out of bankruptcy, guess what they have to do? Go through counseling. So there's a system in place where the government is saying, you know what, we have given individuals in this country relief through the bankruptcy system, which I'm not saying there's anything wrong with. It's just how it's used is the thing that we would like to talk about at some point. But
right.
once they go through those little classes are just so you can check off the blocks. That's all they are. So when you check off the blocks, say, okay, I've done this little class, and now I'm good. Now they'll release me. That individual is not held to any other standard at all. So an individual can, in 6 months or a year, go and get themselves in a bunch of negative debt again and can go back and file. Will it be a little bit tougher the second time around since 2005? Yes, it will. But the bottom line is, are we talking about the debt? They're not dealing with the process. They're just saying, look, you got to make sure you manage your credit card. They're talking about what you were talking about, Brother Feaster, talking about the management side of things. But before you can deal with that, where's the foundation? What are they rooted in? You know, those are the questions that I ask. Are they being taught what is legitimate debt and what's unnecessary debt? You see what I'm saying, brother?
Yeah, I do agree with you, and I really think that a lot of families are not teaching this, and I'm very proud of my daughter. But I am not convinced that she even understands this. I really am not convinced that she understands this. And I'm not going to say that's one of my worries, because she's a very bright young lady, and I know she'll get it. But the question is, what will she go through to learn this? And that's really what debt is. Debt is, for most of us, especially, you know, and I was dying when it took you 10 years to pay for some cross colors.
Well, it was cross colors and a bunch of other. But the other mess, to be honest.
But the majority of us, our debt, your cross colors, our debt that we acquire, especially at a young age, is all about learning. You know, I'm gonna give the example of my first checking account. I was balancing my checkbook like I was taught. And I write a check, I wrote it in there, and I was balancing it. So my balance was $200 after I wrote all my checks. But I would call the bank, and my bank would say there's $375 left. in there. I'm thinking, I got an extra $175. So I would go spend that extra $175. But it was a learning lesson that it took me with 4, 5, 6, 7 bounce checks over, you know, 5 or 6 months to realize that the checks have to catch up with your account. So a lot of our debt is not, it's really, if we really look at it initially, definitely, a lot of our debt is a learning lesson, something that we have not learned, we're ignorant about. And so the government has put things in place to help us, to assist us in learning. Some of us just don't get the lesson. Some of us just don't understand it. Some of us abuse it. Some of us misuse it. So a lot of our debt, and I'm going to stop after this, a lot of our debt I really feel is not so much as money management as it is life lessons.
Good point. Sister Sanders, how are you this evening?
I'm doing good. How's everybody doing?
We're doing good. We're doing good. What's on your mind this evening?
Well, I was just listening. I was just listening to everything that I was hearing, and I guess one of the things that I think about when it comes to debt, and I definitely agree with y'all, is that we are not educated on debt and the consequences, the pros and cons of debt, and how debt is viewed and how it's categorized and different things. So a lot of times we go into situations with no knowledge, and we have to learn those hard life lessons. But I did, there was a scripture that came to mind, and it was, I think it's in Matthew chapter 18, where it talks about the Lord and his servant who owed him a large sum of money. And basically he was indebted to that Lord. And the Lord, master or whatever you want to call him, pardoned his debt. But here's the same servant had someone who worked under him who owed him a debt, and he did not pardon him. When the king heard it, he was outraged. And I think a lot of times when we are accruing debt, whether we understand the consequences of what we're doing, I think that sometimes we do it blindly, not realizing that whether it's good or bad debt, if we want to classify debt as such, that at the end of it, or at the nucleus of that debt, is that we are in bondage to whoever we owe. And that's the part that comes out to me, is that, you know, I know we say that, you know, there's good debt, you know, like having a house, a mortgage, you know, is a good debt, you know, but having a car payment or a revolving credit is considered to be a bad debt, because, you know, it's always going, and if you don't spend something, it hurts you. But the fact of what I look at is that all debt means that you are still enslaved to something or someone. And so what I'd like to ask, and maybe just challenge all of us as, you know, as listeners, is that when we look at debt, how far are we willing to go to continue to walk in slavery and to be in bondage to a thing or a person? Because I grew up, my mother used to always tell, I see my mother be like, oh, let me get a dollar, I ain't got enough change for this. I'd be like, Ma, you owe me a dollar. She used to tell me, as long as I owe you, you'll never go broke. And now I understand that, because as long as I owe somebody, I am basically indebted. I am basically under their control until I have paid that thing off. And so that's just something that I think about that. I think about where our society is when it comes to debt. I think about, you know, I got my crazy credit card story and how I was doing good and fell off, and, you know, I can go on and on and on. But I would definitely say the learning experience behind it is invaluable. But I think what I would like to leave with the listeners, or just kind of challenge us, is how long do we want to be enslaved to whatever that debt is that we have?
Good point. And I think that's where it becomes necessary to, because I think it becomes necessary that we help people not to just hear us naming what a good debt or a bad debt is, but helping them to realize if that's a good debt or a bad debt.
Mm-hmm.
Helping them to realize if it's a legitimate debt or an unnecessary debt. Because, mm-hmm. see, like I've said so many times on this show, this, you know, one of the things about this show, this is not about helping people get out of debt. Y'all heard me say that over and over and over.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the process. If you don't understand what got you into debt in the first place, the likelihood that you'll be back at that same point is greater. And I'm going to tell you, the enemy is smart. The enemy loves when we do stuff. We give reprieve. We get taken out of it. We crawl our way out of it, however that comes. Nobody knows about it. And then we go back and do the same thing. That plays on the mind, because I've talked to a lot of people that that's happened to. Because now they're dealing with shame. Now they're dealing with guilt. Now they're dealing with self-worthlessness. All of those things that we know are not of God, because those things are internal. So it really is about us saying, okay, let me talk to you about your debt. Because we can be surface all day long.
Mm-hmm.
I can say having a house, I can tell you, that having a house is a legitimate debt. So if somebody hears that and they say, Reverend Dunlap said that having a house is legitimate debt, and then it doesn't work out, their mind is confused.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't it have been better for me to say, okay, you're looking at buying this house. How much do you make per month? What
mm-hmm.
do your bills look like currently?
Mm-hmm.
The house note that the mortgage company is telling you is going to be $850. You can pay that with no problem. But is your insurance included in that? Have you considered about repairs? Have you considered about maintenance of the house? All those other things that go along with it. So, again, it's easy to get the credit. And we can talk about credit till we're blue in the face.
Mm-hmm.
But the place where, that I'm seeing is, let's talk about helping people understand what their debt situation is. And it takes people to be honest about their own debt situation. We talk about
mm-hmm.
testimonies all the time. And I'm going to shut up, Brother Feaster, and I'll let you go. But we talk about testimonies all the time. If I'm not willing to say, you know what, yes, I'm a preacher, but I'm in debt, my debt situation is not that good right now, then I can never enter in a conversation with somebody and encourage them, other than the fact that I'm in a debt situation and God is going to bring me through it. Really? Children of Israel was in Babylonian captivity for 70 years. Some of us have entered into mortgages for 30 years. God never designed for his people to be in debt for 30 years, to nothing and to no one. Let's go back to Deuteronomy. That's what it says. But if we don't own anything, or if we don't control the debt, then we can't help others with the debt. Brother Feaster, go ahead, brother, because I know you've been waiting to talk for 15 minutes now.
I'm being patient, waiting my turn. I hear you, JR. You know, I'm not disagreeing with you, but I think right now I just want to do some illumination to some of the things that you're saying. I think I just want to expose some things or expound on some things that you're saying, because you're really hitting some deep stuff. You hit a lot of education in there. You really did. We're quick to say, like, I understand what you're saying about, you know, let's not say that a house is a good debt.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to play the devil advocate of this and say, we should say that it is. I'm just going to play it, and we should say that it is. But what we don't do in that aspect is we don't take account for the insurance. We don't take account for the maintenance. We don't take account for the taxes. We don't take account, like, where my house is. We don't take account for the homeowners association. You know, we don't take account. All we look at, like you said, is that the mortgage is $800 a month. I can afford $800 a month, but what about the $200 a month for insurance? What about the property tax that's going to run me $600 a year? What about all this, the maintenance? You know, my air conditioner runs me, you know, about $200 a year just servicing it and you know, upkeep and stuff like that. And those are the things that, because of ignorance, that we may not even take into account. And so in what you were saying, to add on to what you were saying, a lot of it is we know what the needs are. We just don't know what comes along with them, the baggage that comes with them. We know we need covering. We know we need shelter. But we don't take into account for the maintenance and the upkeep of that and the taxes and the things that go on that. And that's where it goes back to what we've all been saying, the ignorance in it, where we're unaware, we don't know, and we have to learn that life lesson, you know, because nobody really sits down as a whole and get a full understanding. They look at, this is what my house is going to cost me monthly. I can afford that. Well, let's break it down to something cheaper than that we all really look at. Look at the car. It's the same thing with the car. We look at these commercials, you know, 2.9%, you know what I'm saying? And hey, $299 a month with a $2,000 down payment, and you can walk away with this car. But when your gas bill and your car insurance and your car note are the same price, who accounts for that? Most people don't account for that. They account for what that commercial says. And I mean, you know, I don't even want to get into, you know, commercials and advertisement and taxes and stuff like that today, because that's a whole,
amen.
I really believe that's a whole different area. But we because of ignorance and, like I was saying earlier, with the life lessons, we learn these things. We learn these things. You know, we see what we need and we go out and get what we need, but because of ignorance, because of not knowing, because of not having that knowledge, or especially not that experience, we make these debts, we get these quality things that we need, not understanding the baggage or the other things that come along with them. I just want to expose that in what you're saying, JR.
But see, and you're so polite, Brother Feaster. Brother JR, you know, I agree. Man, you can disagree with me all day long. It's not going to hurt my feelings. This is a PRF table. We ain't supposed to everybody agree. So let me
tell
you
what I'm not disagreeing with you. I really, I'm not. Like I was saying, I just want to, it was just, you know, you know, we all, and this is the one thing I love about this PRF table, and I'm gonna be quiet after this. We all have different sides of this coin that we're looking at, and we bring
right.
the side that we see, and that's what I was doing right now. Now, you know, if I disagree with you, brother, you know I'm gonna say I disagree with you. So,
you know,
but yeah,
I just, but see, this is the thing, you know. And, you know, language is important. You know, that's one of my pet peeves. You know, there's a
yeah.
lot of people that are doing it correctly. So I don't want it to be a picture that there's so many people that are just straight ignorant to these things. There's a lot of reasons behind why people are in debt. And I want us to be careful not to lump the individual that gets a $500 credit card and buys a bunch of cross-color gear with the individual that may have lost their job and is unable to pay their debt. You see
right.
what I'm saying? Because if you go back to last year, when Brother Saeed was on, he said, we are one incident away from debt. There's somebody that will go out there, everything is good, good job and everything. Car accidents can put people in debt really, really bad with medical coverage. Family situations. So, just because there's some of us that are not head over heels with a whole bunch of debt, I want everybody to know, it's not like we got it going on or anything like that. We're just blessed in that area. Or maybe we have made some different decisions that somebody else didn't make. Or maybe we've had that time to go through those learning curves, so to speak, and been able to get from a bad debt situation into a good debt situation. So I want us to be, excuse me, again, intentional about that so people don't think this is a negative show, because when we talk about these complicated matters, these difficult things, a lot of people may not want to speak out about it, and we want to encourage people to speak out about it, and we want the enemy not to get any glory for people holding back what's going on with them so that they can get the help that they actually need, you know, whether it's from us or whether it's us directing them to another resource. So I would say, and Adia, if you want to jump in, go ahead. You know, the one thing that I will encourage everybody, and we'll keep peeling back the onion as the shows go on, is make a decision or get understanding about whether the debt is legitimate or not. Brother Fisa, you had mentioned something. You said about buying the house. But a house and shelter are two different things. So I may live in a 1,500-square-foot house where you may live in a 3,000-square-foot house. If people hear buying a house is good debt, well, you may not be able to afford the 3,000-square-foot house. You may only be able to afford the 1,500-square-foot house. Mess around and get that 3,000-square-foot house if you want to. That credit that was given to you will be bad debt, especially if you're not able, if that person is not able to pay off that debt. So, and sometimes we have debt that's out there that it becomes gradual. My credit card started off at $500. When I paid it off, it was like $3,000. Matter of fact, about $3,400. And it was at $3,000, over $3,000 for about 7 years. But it didn't get there overnight. It was a gradual type of thing. You see what I'm saying? So if we can encourage people to just take a step back and say, okay, what type of debt is this that I'm looking at? And be conscious that, you know, if it gets to a point where it gets out of control, it's going to be a whole lot harder to get out of debt than it is to actually get in debt. That would be my first point. Mr. Sanders, did you have anything? Or, you know, I'll just keep on going.
I know. Well, I did. And
go ahead.
I want to say, you know, I really like when we converse like this, because so many ideas, you know, you kind of feed off of one another. But what I heard you saying, Nate and Feaster, was that research is key. Because if somebody makes a decision, if we don't gather the information together before we just make an informed decision that, oh, I'm going to buy this house because I can afford the mortgage, but don't consider the taxes and the insurance, then you're going to have an issue. And I think being informed about information, researching it, and being educated on it is very key, because when that realtor is showing you that house, they may or may not mention the taxes and insurance. But what would it take for us just to go to the library or to talk to somebody who owns the house, to ask them what did they have to consider or take into consideration when they bought their house? And the other thought that came into my mind when Brother Fisa was talking about the maintenance and, you know, adding that into the cost of owning a home and, you know, your air conditioning, you know, the thought, because I know you brought up the word credit, but budgeting came to my mind, was that when you own a home, you have to begin to budget for certain things, because it's not that you don't know how to manage your money, but when you look at the wealthiest people, if they have an accountant, it's because it's budgeting. And in order for us to want to be able to maintain the finances that we have so that we can keep our debt that we do have at a minimum, is that we have to incorporate that budget. We have to incorporate being educated and researching things, because there's a lot of information out there. They have information for first-time home buyers. They have information for veterans who are using their VA loan to buy a home. There is a wealth of information out there. There's information about ARMs. There's information about fixed rates, 30 years, 15 years, paying $100 extra per year on your mortgage, and making sure that it goes to the principal. So when we look at debt, and I know I'm talking about a house because that is probably one of the biggest debts that a person will have in their lifetime, but the thing is that we have to do the research. Somebody can give us the information, which is communicated knowledge, but when we get that information, are we going to just take it at face value, or is it going to drive us or inspire us or motivate us to take that information that we've been given and to find out what we can get on our own so that we are now, we can assume responsibility for the knowledge that we have, and now we can lead somebody else to say, hey, in my research, I was told this, But here's some additional information that I found out based off of the information that I was given. And a lot of times that's not happening. So when people accrue debt, and I mean so much to the point that they lose their homes or have a car repossessed or things like that that are sometimes unforeseeable, it's because we have not done our research or we haven't properly prepared because, you know, and when you have debt, there's a lot of things that we got to consider. You know, people will tell you, you know, that having debt is a good thing because you can boast about your credit score. Well, that may be true, but if you don't know what that credit score means or if you don't understand what the debt means that you have and how it can be used to your advantage or disadvantage, then having debt really isn't doing you a bit of good because you don't know what to do with it and you don't know what it means. So I think in all that I have said is that we got to research, we got to take the communicated knowledge that people share with us and be willing to investigate, ask questions, and then when we look at, you know, items like buying a car or buying a home or getting a credit card, we'll be able to understand that there are implied tasks that go along with that that they're not going to put in the fine print when they ask you to sign your John Hancock. They're not going to tell you to consider that you're going to have to add $90 in every 3,000 miles or every 5 months to get your oil changed.
But you but that's not their responsibility. You know, see, and I think that's what happens a lot of times. A lot, you know, I hear people talk all the time, not saying that you're saying this, but, like, it's somebody else's fault because they didn't just lay it out there. You see what I'm saying? If they don't tell you about if I'm a car dealer, my job is to tell you how much the price of cars and get it. My job ain't to deal with you and say, you know what, well, can you really afford this? You know, gas, this is going to take 93 octane worth of gas. And so, therefore, you know, the gas, you know, the gas is $4.22 a gallon. That's not, you know, that's not their job.
No, it's not. And I'm not saying it's that person's job. What I'm holding the individual responsible. If Adia says she wants to go buy a car, has Adia done her research? The callers that are listening, if they're contemplating right now getting to buy a computer, that's a pretty simple thing, to buy a computer, because you can buy a laptop nowadays for $400. Have they considered if it's the right time for them to buy a computer? If you only got $500 and the computer that you want is more than that, have they considered and counted the cost? Because if they go in debt over a laptop, then there's some issues. And so I'm not saying that it's the person that's selling the item's responsibility to say, well, have you thought about this or thought about that? Because they're not going to do it. That's not their job. They're not even trained to do that. That's not what they're getting paid for. But if I'm deciding that I'm going to go in debt to buy a car, then it is my responsibility to research that information on whatever decision that I'm getting ready to make. And that is not happening a lot of times. Because we hear what people say, oh, man, you can get you a new car with a 6% interest. Well, do you understand what that means? Is that just for a year? And does it go up and fluctuate every year after that until the car is paid off? And that's what I'm getting at. When we're talking about debt, debt means that if I'm saying that I'm getting ready to go purchase something, I better make sure that I've done my research because I need to understand the debt that I'm getting ready to get myself into and what it means for me because I'm married to that debt until it's paid off. It's mine.
But see, I think, Adia, I think a lot of times we don't know where to get that information from.
Why don't we know?
Who doesn't
know where to go, where to find out information? Because we know where to go to get the next, the newest CD that came out. Marvin
Sapp. But that's apples and oranges. That's not a fair comparison. I'm not saying that I disagree with it, but I am saying that, okay, just because I know where this is, just because I have an interest in this, doesn't mean that I'm going to spend the same amount of energy on this.
But
same amount of energy on that.
But you want it, though, right?
Exactly. I want it.
So we're saying that we want something, but we're not willing to spend the time or invest the time to learn about that thing, even though we want it. So we will want it and can walk in something blindly. And I'm not – we will walk in something blindly and not understand the consequences of doing it without having some type of knowledge or enough knowledge.
Well, let's look at it like this, Adia, and I'm going to play the devil advocate in this. So
man,
I'm going to –
you're a devil advocate on this show.
I
don't find another word. Go ahead.
I want to do the research. So I put in mortgage in Google. And the first entry pops up is Wikipedia. And I read what Wikipedia has said. But I don't know that Wikipedia is not a credible source. So I'm listening to what Wikipedia said. Or the first entry that I look at is some online credit company that is not even accredited. That the Better Business Bureau has slashed this company. But I read what it says. You know, so I like the fact that you're saying research, but where do I go get this research from? This is something we talked about a couple of shows about. We're quick to say research, 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 but where do we get this research from? It's plenty of, I'm not going to play the devil's advocate. I'm going to look at the other side of the coin. But there are plenty of examples out there where people went to go do this particular thing. Look at a lot of stars and their TLC a couple of years ago, listening to their accountant, doing what their accountant said. Their accountant wasn't paying their taxes. Next thing you know, they came down for tax evasion.
Mm-hmm.
But they had the right education. They had the right people. They had an accountant. They had everything that they needed, and they just knew that they were right.
But
until one day...
Feature.
All of a sudden, they find out that what they thought was right was wrong.
Feaster, they had an accountant who was educated, but they weren't. Didn't Wesley Snipes just get out of jail for that? That his accountant was educated, but he wasn't, and it was Wesley Snipes' money. Why the accountant didn't go to jail with him? Why didn't the accountant go to jail with Wesley Snipes?
But
it was Wesley's money.
But they did what they knew was right. They got an accountant for their money. That's what I'm saying.
An accountant is educated and can tell you about your money. And the thing is that we want to hold somebody else responsible for something that we decided to do. And I'm not playing like I'm just, I had a car repossessed because I didn't know no better, because I didn't ask the right question, because I didn't call the financing company to say, hey, I'm having a hard time paying my bills because I've been sick and I haven't been working that many hours. I didn't do that. So my car got repossessed. So I hear you, Nate, when you say sometimes situations, self-inflicted situations, will educate us once we've gone through it. But at what point in time do we flip the script to say, I'm going to educate myself before I go into this situation? So that
even if something happens,
I am educated and I've done the best that I could. But when we've done nothing and then we want to, you know, say, well, you know, I didn't know where I can find this information at, because the website, you know, wasn't really a reliable source, you know, and the library is right down the street from my house. So I didn't go there, or, you know, I'm in the military and I didn't call or go on the VA website. We can't keep making excuses. That's what I'm saying.
But this is the thing. We can say that, but it's not realistic. Let me be honest with you. I have a degree or two, so God has blessed me with some stuff. I have a wife that's intelligent. That's a blessing. I'm intelligent. That's a blessing. There's some stuff I'm just not going to look up. Baby, check this out for me. I'm just not going to do it. And I think when we put it on the individual so hard, it makes people say, I'm not going to go to nobody.
Right.
We are a community of believers. So if we keep telling people, whoever the we is. And I've heard this, and that's why I keep saying we. If individuals keep telling individuals or putting it in the individual's lap, you need to go and check this out for yourself. My barber tells me that all the time, go research this, JR. I'm like, come on, dude, really? Research it? What does that mean? Everybody doesn't have the same education level. So we have to be personable as we deal with debt because it is a personal thing and it's a touchy, touchy subject. We're dealing with people right now that are in debt situations that they're trying to get out of. So right now, talking to somebody, telling them about, okay, you got to go research, all that stuff, people are going to do what they need to do to try to help survive. More people, so many people are putting themselves in further debt than what we're what you were talking about, Adia, which is not, I'm not saying it's a bad point. The reality of what I'm saying is this. People are trying to survive right now.
Mm-hmm.
So many people are already in debt situations. And a lot of people turn to credit to help their debt situations.
Right.
So at some point, we have to say, let's put on the tourniquet, for lack of a better phrase, and say, let me slow you down. But once we do that, once we try to slow somebody down, it's already going down the hill, we have to be willing to stand up and be with them as we say, okay, let me try to stop you from this momentum from going. Does that make sense? Because everybody's not going to go to the library. Everybody may not have access to it. Some of this stuff, and that's why I teach PRF like I do, because I can't teach this in a 9-week course. I have to deal with who the individuals are. I need to find out how are these individuals, what is their situation like? Because if I give to make this as a 10-course course, so to speak, that means I'm dealing with my time frame and not their time frame. And it's going to take some individuals a longer time to get through just the stewardship piece before we can even deal with the credit piece. But God is really impressing on my heart that there's a debt situation. We keep hearing it over and over and over. So let's see what we can do to try to give people some practical solutions to start trying to come out of this thing. So let me get to this caller real quick, and we'll come back. Hold on 1 minute, y'all. Caller, you're calling with the last four, 3579. Have a seat at the table. How you doing this evening?
Good evening, sir. How you doing? Once again, this is Brother Parks, Brother Dunlap, Sister Dia, and Brother Feaster. You, I just want to say good evening to everybody. And once again, I'm just getting out of class, so I'm playing catch up on the show here. But you guys are covering some good ground as far as debt. We all have experienced debt in one way, shape, or form. But it was some things that you guys were saying as I was coming home. And one of the things that brought up in my mind was the scripture in Luke 14. It talks about, you know, who was starting to build, who were planning to build a building and not sit down and count the cost.
Mm-hmm.
Find out what is needed to make this building go from the foundation up. So, and it also gets in there and talk about if you got the foundation, but you don't have enough money to build the rest of it, you're going to look like a fool. One of the biggest things about that is that we as a people, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we have to understand that we do make choices, we do make mistakes, and we do make things based on our five senses, things we see on TV, how we feel about it, what it smells like, what it looked like, whatever the case may be. You know, and then we look at it and say, hey, you know, what kind of what is it going to do for me? Is it going to bring me up to another level of status with people, with the community, or whatever the case may be? I think about it all the time. Like Sister Adele was talking about, I'd have lost two cars, had two cars repossessed, and not proud of it. But it was a lack of education, a lack of knowing, counting the cost of what it is to maintain it. You know, it takes a lot out of us to just actually sit down and do the research. We don't want to do the research. We live in a society today that's microwave society. We want it now. We want it faster. We want it now. We know if we can get it before the next man get it, we'll look better down the road. But now knowing that down the road, we got to understand that there's maintenance and cost in it, there's insurance that's needed, there's all these different things that we need to maintain what we've bought. I'm going to tell you right now, I struggled with debt for years, even in the military, 20 years of military, buying stuff just on impulse. And really just after I retired from the military, I got sick of it, you know. I just got sick of buying stuff. And I'm at that point right now. Yeah, I got 3 credit cards and a truck. But all of that is paid for this year, in Jesus' name. And I thank God that, you know, I've been through some of these classes, these debt consolidation classes, and actually just debt period classes that I've taken online or whatever the case may be, to get the education behind it so that if I decide to buy something else new, I'm going to make sure that I do all my research. And if I got to get out there and get to the library or get to the Internet or whatever I need to do my research, make sure I do my homework. You got to do your homework. And like I said before, a lot of times we just don't want to do the homework. You know, even us Christian folk, that, you know, we love the Lord and everything, but still we make choices and we make decisions that will cost us in the long run. Amen?
Amen.
That's it, brother.
Amen.
well, drop the mic, if you will, Brother Parks. No problem. We appreciate
yes,
you, bro. We appreciate you. Have a good night, sir.
You too now.
Brother Feaster.
Yes,
go sir. Ahead, brother. Go ahead.
I am, I don't know if I'm going to shift gears or what, but I am really seeing the connection of all the prior shows that we had up until now.
Mm-hmm.
I am really, really seeing it. I really see how, and Jay, I know you don't like me to contribute this to you, but you're the one that's leading all this, so, and I know you're going to contribute to God, and I'm not going to take away from God. I really see how all this is laying out. I see it now. As we're opening up the can of debt, as you said earlier, as we're opening up the can of debt, I'm seeing stewardship. I'm seeing education. I'm seeing needs versus wants. I'm seeing value. All of the things that we've talked about over the months that we've gotten up until now, I'm starting to see the connection. Because we really, as we dialogue this thing tonight, we really have reached all the way back to the very first show and pulled out a lot of the things that we said. You know,
right.
What is our, I mean, we really dealt with a lot of stewardship tonight. We dealt with a lot of education tonight. You know, when I get this item, I'm obligated. I am saying, when I got that VCR years ago with that 6-month payment plan, I was saying, sir, I will give you $30 for the next 6 months to pay for this VCR. You will allow me to use this VCR until it's paid off. And it was my, because he let me take that VCR, walk off. Based on my signature and my credit, he said, okay, sir, you can take this VCR and you can use it. That's the difference between credit and layaway. That's a big difference. You know, layaway, I don't trust you. You're going to bring me all my money before I let you get this. There's no trust issue in there at all. And if you don't want it, not a problem. I'll put it back down there for somebody else to get. But credit says that I trust you enough. You have shown enough responsibility so that I can allow you to take this, use this while you still are paying me on it. So that's where the stewardship comes in, the needs versus wants. You know, JR, you talked about a 1,500 square feet house versus a 3,000 square feet house. That's where the needs versus wants. I need shelter. I need a house. But do I need 6 rooms when it's just, I have a friend right now who is, retired from the military. If she listens, she's going to get me. She's retired from the military, just purchased a home. She has 4 bedrooms. She's by herself. She has no children. She is a single military retiree, has a 4-bedroom home, and told me, I need a bigger house. I said, why do you need a bigger house? Because I feel like I'm cramped in this house. She's got all this stuff that she's accumulated over the 20 years of living. And I'm thinking to myself, you need to get rid of some stuff. You don't need a bigger home. You just need to get rid of some stuff. That's where the stewardship comes in. That's where the needs versus wants. You know, do I need this or do I just want this? So it's just, you know, I'm babbling on, but I'm seeing the connection between all of the prior shows up until now more than I've ever seen in any other show that we've done tonight. Now, that's my point right there.
Well, JR,
go ahead.
I wanted to read this scripture in Proverbs 22:7. It says, "The rich," and this is the NIV. It says, "The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is slave to the lender." And so,
yeah,
when we're talking about debt, I just think that it's really important that we understand the magnitude and of what debt means. And I really hope that we have another show about this, because I think that we need to get so mad that we hungry and that we want to know more because we want to do better. And I've heard people say, you know, if to know better is to do better, whatever the little saying is. But we got to want to do better. And the only way that we can do better is by knowing. And when we know, I mean, it's just like the Word of God says, don't just be a hearer of the Word, but you got to do something. When you hear some information and it can apply to you and it applies to your situation, you got to do something with that information. My husband and I, we took a financial peace course, I know, with Dave Ramsey. And we've been doing this now for the past 3 years. And we are working to pay off debt. And so a lot of people will probably ask, well, how do I do that? Because I don't even really understand what this debt is. But there's a process that we can go through. And like you were saying, it may not be cookie cutter. And for most people, it can't be, depending on what it is that they're trying to do and the resources that they have. But I think that it's important that we look at, that we understand debt, and that we don't just look at it as if, oh, if I get this debt, whether it's a good debt or a bad debt, that there are no other responsibilities to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I really do like what Brother Parker said. I really do. And I just can't share enough of the importance of understanding that when you are in debt to somebody, that you owe them until that thing is paid off, and you are not relinquished of that debt, you know. And I know, you know, they do have the 7 year, and I'm so thankful that even in the 21st century that we do have a biblical principle intertwined into our society, that if you do have a debt, that it is forgiven after 7 years. But people may not even understand all of the rules that apply to that and how that comes about. And so I'm just really excited about tonight's topic. I really am. I think that if people are listening and if they are upset or if they are convicted or if they are hungry, I think that we're in a good place. I'm in a good place. That if something that was said tonight challenged me and made me upset and ruffled my feather and I had to say ouch because Brother Nate stepped on my toe, then that's a good place to be, because now we can do something about it. Now I can do something about it.
Let me tell y'all where I really think that this is going to continue to go. We already made 2 points, you know. We talked about legitimate debt versus, or in contrast to unnecessary debt, in contrast to gradual debt. That's something that an individual has to evaluate for themselves and see, okay, what the debt that I have, what type of debt is it? Because when you have unnecessary debt, then you may be able to do something about that unnecessary debt. Brother Feaster, you talked about the female that you know. If she had all that stuff on credit, then it's debt. So if you need to get rid of some stuff, then maybe she could sell some of that stuff and reduce the debt. So there's things that you can do with unnecessary debt. Gradual debt, there's some things that you may or may not be able to do with gradual debt. But with legitimate debt, you know, that's one of those things that is there. And once it's there, for example, a house or a car for 4 years, once you enter into the agreement and get the credit, then the debt is what it is. So that was the first thing. Let me give the other point, and I think all the other shows that we have will be surrounding these points that God gave me. Another one is be realistic. And when I say be realistic, I say that meaning ask this question. Did you obtain the debt with a few large purchases? When you have large purchases, it's going to take a longer period of time to pay them off. Nobody talks about Donald Trump or Bill Gates' debt. We just look at them as being rich.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody out here, I don't know anybody that is totally debt-free, so that's another point. Debt-free is really not a realistic concept. You're always going to have something unless you own the electric company in your town, the water company in your town. Come on, let's be real with this thing. Unless you own the water company, electric company, the cable company, I ain't talking about some stock in, I'm talking about own it, then you're going to have to get credit from somebody. That's just the way it is. So there is no such thing, and I would love some anybody who has been in the financial sector to come and challenge me or come have a conversation, have a seat at the table. There is no such thing as debt-free. So when people say, I'm trying to get debt-free, good luck on that. You may pay off some bills, but guess what's going to happen? You're going to get back in debt because there's going to be something else that you're going to need. Very few people have zero debts out here, and I don't know anybody that does. Everybody needs credit from some time to time. The other one is, and this is going to be the major thing that we're going to hang our hats on, let's not be so quick to come to a solution. Sometimes you have to be in Babylon for 70 years for God to get your attention. Sometimes you're already there and you don't realize you're in Babylon. Oh, my goodness, this is what's going on. I think when you evaluate what's going on, evaluate how those debts came to be, then you can say, oh, okay, now this is what it is, which, in my opinion, is a good opportunity to try to draw closer to God. You know what? I am in this debt. Ain't nothing I can do about it right now. I'll put a for sale sign on the house. If somebody buys it, good. But if not, I got to still know that I got 15 years left on this house. That's the real mindset that I think people need to have. And like I said earlier, debt is the first cousin to credit. So we have to be careful about when we talk about debt. It's easy to put both of those into one. But you don't get debt. You get credit. Debt is the result of the credit.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to be able to say, let's just really talk about the debt piece because that's where so many people are. And we could talk about the problems all day long, but we're going to really hammer down on some solutions starting with tonight. You know, one of the things that I would say to anybody listening that is trying to get out of debt or has a desire to get out of debt, number one is evaluate your situation, evaluate your condition. I think this is important because it's going to require some total honesty.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I messed up. That's why the car got repossessed. Amen. Forgive me, God. Because when a repossession happens, you've messed over whoever you are. You've messed over a creditor. God is not happy with that. So you got to come with grips like, man, I really messed that up. I took some food possibly out of somebody else's mouth.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? So when we be honest with ourselves and also be honest with God, then we can start getting some release. Then some peace can start coming into our hearts if we're in that particular type of situation. And I encourage everybody that's listening, we know we're going to have a lot of archive hits. Let's not say that there's not help out there. This is one vehicle that we tell everybody all the time, don't we, Brother Feaston, Sister Sanders? You got a seat at this table. So guess what? I don't have to know your name. You can come and talk about whatever the issue is because every last one of us sitting at the table right now know these are not the conversations that are happening in the church. Generally speaking, they're not. Let me break it down. Let me be real. It ain't happening in my church, and I teach it. Shame on us. Shame on us for everybody broke, busted, and disgusted inside of our church knowing that somebody's there that is available and willing to teach the people according to God's how God wants it to be done. So I don't have no sympathy when people say, you know, we're having trouble paying the bills in the church. Why is that?
Hmm.
Why are we having trouble paying the bills? Why are we barely scraping, making it by? Because the people are in the situation. It's going to take all of us being honest. And I, you know, I'm not going to say it's about everybody's church. I'm just saying my church. So, Brother Peace, we got like 5 minutes left in the show. So go ahead and give us your closing comments, because, you know, this is a subject that we need to make sure that people get just a little bit to chew on, and then let's come back or continue on Facebook and continue a conversation going that way, because we're not going to try to get it all out tonight.
I just want to say I thought that when we hit tithing that we was hitting some sensitive subjects, and it was going to be some very deep discussions, and folks was going to get mad and upset. But I see now, just in the introduction of debt, that it's going to be a little more intense than tithing. So all of y'all that missed tithing, I'm glad you're back. We hit some stuff that you probably want to know, and you can go to the archives and get it. But we're going to move on to debt. But it's just, it goes to show you that, I mean, even with the callers, people have a personal connection with this, just like they did with the tithe. And people are going to bring their personal emotions, their personal feelings in this conversation. And we like you were saying, Gerard, instead of solving the problems, we got to come to realize what the problems are and let allow everybody to heal and resolve these issues in their own time. And not by means that I know what everything that I'm talking about. I'm bringing my personal feelings and my personal emotions and my personal experiences to the table also. And I'm going to be very candid like I've always been and put myself out there, because I, too, was caught up in debt. And I just thank God for my wife, because she's the only reason why I am not over my head in debt as I used to be when we first met. So I just challenge everybody, like I did during tithing, to, you know, don't push away from the table. Come to the table, listen, bring your experiences, bring your talk. And if you don't want to listen in, just follow along on the Facebook page, and then you ain't got to worry about all the, you know, back and forth dialogue. So good night, everybody. Thank you for listening. Thank you for coming back. And I'm excited for where we're about to go.
Amen. Sister Sanders, it's all you, sister.
I just, you know, debt is just, I'm very passionate when it comes to talking about debt, because I just believe, I would always say growing up, that I just couldn't understand why God would want his people who are serving him to be in debt, to where we can't even help other people because we are financially strapped ourselves. Mm-hmm. So this is a topic that really means a lot to me, because I am working and believe that I'm going to, that I won't have a mortgage always, that I won't always have a car payment, and that something is going to change in my life, so that whatever knowledge that I gain, I won't keep it to myself and I will share it with others. But I just want to also leave that when we get tired of being sick and tired, we'll do something about it. We'll either keep going the way that we are and eventually lead to where we have nothing, or we'll make a conscious decision to say that I don't want to be here anymore and I'm going to get the help that I need. And so I'm just so thankful for people like you, Nate, and Feaster, who will share your personal stories to help somebody else out, to let them know that they don't have anything to be ashamed of, that I didn't have anything to be ashamed of when my car got repossessed, because it made me realize that I was missing something, and it was the knowledge and it was the education, and that it also showed me that I was not being a good steward over what God gave me, and that I wasn't walking in integrity, that I wasn't walking in honesty. And so there are a lot of other things that tie into debt, but we got to be able to peel back the onion, to peel back the layers and get to the root cause of the problem, so that I can get the help that I need, so that I can help somebody else out along the way and not feel ashamed and not feel embarrassed and not feel like I'm being ridiculed because I didn't always make the right decision, and that I can be a light to somebody so that they can make the right decisions, because now they've been empowered with the same knowledge that I gained, but only from my experiences of making some bad judgment choices
in my life.
All right. Well, you're listening to the PRS Table, Brother Dunlap, Sister Sanders, Brother Feaster. Thank you so much for listening. We will see you back next Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Go to the Facebook page, possessions.resources.finances. Join us on the conversation, and we would love to engage you next week on this very important and very much needed topic. So until next week, have a wonderful, wonderful week. God bless you. Have a good night.